Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Welcome back to The Shepherd's Pie, a slice of faith for our messy lives. I'm Tony Kolenk, a professor at Ave Maria School of Law and the father of five grown children and the author of inspirational fiction for adults and teenagers. On that note, by the way, I'm super thrilled that book five in my Harwood Mystery series, Murder at Penwood Manor, recently won two awards, actually, an Illumination Book Award and also an Independent Press Book Award. So very honored about that. But today I've got as my guest Marie Isom, and we're going to be talking about joy and abundance in the midst of life's suffering. My guest today is Marie Isom. She is a certified Christian life coach. She's also a speaker and an author, and we're going to be talking about her book, Paper Mache Princess, and she blogs at intoabundance.com and writes for publications such as Focus on the Family and David C. Cook's Power for Living. She's overcome many obstacles in her life, including having survived a mass shooting and living with a chronic health issue. So we're going to be talking about all of those issues and suffering and how to live abundantly and with joy. So Marie, it is so nice to have you on The Shepherd's Pie. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm thankful to be here and congrats on the recent awards.
Thank you. Yeah, thank God. God has been so good. So let's hear a little bit more about your background. Obviously, it sounds like you've got a lot going on in your background, but maybe just tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you started writing for places like Focus on the Family.
Well, I'm also a parent of six adult children and five grandchildren, and that right there is abundance and joy in and of itself. But I have always enjoyed writing. I grew up as the third child of six children, and my older brother and sister, they were very articulate, very athletic, and I felt like that, just that gray crown mixed in with a box of primary colors. But then in my junior year of high school, when I was struggling with alcoholism and eating disorders, I had a teacher read some of my writings, and he said, Marie, you have got a gift and you need to do something with that. And for a little bit, I held on to those words, but then all the other thoughts of you're not significant, you don't have anything to write about, so I just tossed it aside. Then fast forward to 2012, when the Aurora Theater shooting took place. And at that time, I was blogging for a very small, my family, friends, I think I had 13 followers. And I wrote a blog post after the shooting. And I just wanted to let people know that God wasn't to blame. People were saying, where's God in all this? And just trying to share my faith that God is a sovereign God and he's given man free will. He's given man choice. And man sometimes chooses evil. And so that blog post went viral, and I found myself with thousands of followers and people reaching out to me and book publishers and agents, but I went back into little gray mouse mode. I hid for a long time, but God began showing me that gray is a great color for background to his glory and his splendor. And took 10 years, but I did finally follow through, and Paper Mache Princess is the result of that.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate all that you're sharing with us here. And it sounds like we'll have a lot to talk about with regard to just your own experience overcoming, you know, suffering and bringing joy to life. But maybe we can use as our segue to that conversation a little bit about your Paper Mache Princess book.
Well, Paper Mache Princess was released in 2022, and it's just a short memoir of letting go of control. I think often we try to control everything to create joy, to create abundance, to create richness in our lives, and discovering we can't control anything. There's really nothing apart from our attitudes, our beliefs, our values that we can control. But when we let go of that and we free fall with in tandem with Jesus, then we always land in abundance.
And what's the significance of the title? It's really a fascinating title.
Well, originally I picked free falling, but my editors didn't care for that. So we did some more brainstorming. And I had written a poem years ago. I felt like I had created all these layers, these protective layers, because I felt like there was nothing of value inside of me. So all these layers of serving and trying to look good. And basically, it was just paper mache. I looked good. I looked like a princess from the outside. But man, I had to keep my distance, because if people knew, there was nothing of value inside me until Jesus. Now, if I break open, I just pray that all that splendor and glory of Jesus is what falls out.
That's a beautiful image. Maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, how does your memoir unfold, or, you know, or your own story, however you want to convey it?
Well, there's actually four parts. Initially, my life was, I had no control, right? I'm born into this family that was with alcoholism and dysfunction, and a lot of people can relate to that. But I went from that to a life out of control. You know, I spiraled out of control myself. I picked up all those same addictions and habits. And then I got to know Jesus, but I traded that out of control for an illusion of control, thinking that if I just did all the right things and followed the rules of Christianity, then I could control how people saw me. I could control, you know, what happened to me. And then all these things, you know, happened. My husband had an addiction with pornography. My children walked away from the Lord. I had a daughter who they told us had cancer, all these things. And it's just like, ooh, God's pulling my fingers off from all these things I thought I had control of and releasing them to him. And then discovering that really he's in control and that's okay. So I went from having no control to life out of control, to an illusion of control, to letting go of control. And in that, discovering the abundance and the joy, no matter what. It doesn't matter where or what happens. I mean, it does matter. But the reality is that with Jesus, he's always going to bring abundance and joy out of it.
Yeah, it's one of the themes I love to talk about, even in the stories that I write, this idea that Romans 8:28, that God takes all these things and brings good out of them for those who love him. I mean, I'm sure anybody who has had suffering in their lives, hearing just a little bit of your life story, I'm sure there's something for everybody who has suffered, it sounds like, you know, those of us who have children that have strayed and marriage issues and health issues and other life things. What do you say to the person who talks about, you know, that age-old question, or why does God let all these bad things happen in the world? That's a question that challenges many people's faith. And it sounds like you've thought about this a lot in your own life. What do you say to them?
Absolutely. I say that God has given man choice. And sometimes man chooses evil, and that evil can impact us. But the difference with someone who doesn't have Jesus is they're dealing with all that on their own. In Christ, we don't just walk through the darkness alone. We have his light walking through with us. And we don't negate or belittle or minimize the suffering that we go through. We can hold that. But on the other hand, we can hold on to his promises. One of my favorite scriptures is in Psalm 65, 11 and 12 in the New Living Translation. It says, "You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness become a lush pasture, and the hillsides blossom with joy." So it's talking about physical landscape, but the same thing happens in us, that even these hard pathways can overflow with abundance and joy. God will bring something out of it. The verse you referred to, God brings, he doesn't cause the evil, but he can bring good from the evil.
Yeah, when I think about that, I even think about Christ dying on the cross, which, you know, in one sense, would be the worst kind of evil, that, you know, you would put to death the Lord of life. And yet that was the very means by which he chose for salvation. You know, just thinking about that one concept baffles my mind, to think, you know, if God could bring, you know, his plan to fruition out of that, then all of these things that happen to us in our lives can also be used for good. And so maybe you mentioned the mass shooting and you mentioned a theater. And so some people might already know what mass shooting you're talking about, but unfortunately in this country, we've had many mass shootings. Can you share a little bit about sort of what your experience was with that suffering, and then, you know, how your faith kind of interacted with that challenge in your life?
Yes, I was referring to the Aurora, Colorado 2012 mass shooting in a theater there. And it was a midnight showing, which typically I don't go to movie theaters. I don't typically stay up that late. If I'm going to watch something, I'd rather watch it in the comfort of my own home. But I had two daughters that were chomping at the bit to go, and an older daughter, a married daughter, who was going to take them. But she was newly pregnant and she was tired. She just said she couldn't. And I had a son who was going, and he said he could get tickets for them and they could ride with him, but they wouldn't be in the same theater. And so I chose to go with them. Several times my son said, "Oh, I can just bring them, yeah, I can drive them." And my spirit just said, "No, just go with them." And I think that's a key there, heeding the Holy Spirit when God prompts us to do something, because I cannot imagine, I just can't fathom my daughters being in that theater with that shooting going on, not being there with them. And that, as I'm speaking of that, I just think of the comfort and the presence I felt. You know, we were on the carpet, face down into a dirty movie theater carpet. I had thrown myself on top of my daughter because the shooter was just 50 feet straight down the aisle from us. And I was just overcome with the presence of God, just the peace that we hear about that passes all understanding. And there was just such a peace that if I die, it's okay. I don't want to die and I don't want to suffer pain. But the presence of Jesus with me, you just can't even put it into words. It was like, it's okay. I know where I'm going to be. And so just the presence of Jesus in any kind of suffering is just beyond explanation. Like you said, he can work his plan even in those really hard things.
As you were describing what it took to get you to that theater, I think some people might, if they were in that situation, think that, you know, gosh, what bad luck I had that I decided to do this and I normally wouldn't have done this, and how unfortunate for me. And of course, the way you described it, it was the opposite of that. Can you talk to that? Like, how is it that we, when we have these things happen in our lives and we want to say, why me? Or why was I the one that was there? I mean, have you thought about that at all?
Well, I had long ago learned through other sufferings to really listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, I spoke earlier, my husband had a pornography addiction. And I know as a Christian, we say God doesn't like divorce, but I've considered divorce, all these things. And God's Spirit just, I mean, it was so obviously God's Spirit speaking, "I'm going to do an Ezekiel 37. I'm going to resurrect this marriage. Stay." And just to see what he has done, you know, how could I not trust him when he tells me to do something? I just, when I choose my own way and when I pick my way of doing things, no, it's not always pretty. But God always brings me into abundance. My marriage is better than anything I could have ever fathomed, but it was a process, and it was a listening, and it was an obedience. And so knowing that it was God's Spirit telling me to be there, then I had no doubt that I was there for a reason. We don't think to question when good things happen to us. Oh man, how did I get blessed with six kids? We don't question the good thing. We just think we deserve them or we've earned them. But when bad things happen, you know, we want to blame someone else or say, why me?
You know, you got such an amazing story here because, you know, listening to this during the Easter season, having just gone through the season of Lent and Holy Week and the suffering of Christ on the cross. And what I hear you saying is, to get to the resurrection, you have to go through the cross. To get to the joy of the resurrection, you have to endure suffering. And even just the marriage story that you just shared with us, many people, they won't let their marriages endure the suffering, and then they never will get to the joy of the resurrection. How does somebody stick with it and endure that suffering, you know, in the hope that maybe there is going to be some resurrection on the other end?
It's heeding the Holy Spirit. We have to take that time to sit and listen, be in the Word, and hear what God speaks to us. I can't speak into everybody else's marriage. I haven't been there. But I know when God tells you to do something and you walk through it, yes, there will be suffering often, but it always brings something better. God is the only one who has resurrection power. He's the only one who can take something that appears to be dead, something that there appears no hope, and can turn it into something beautiful. We all have heard and sometimes even quote the beauty from ashes, the resurrection life. But when it comes to us, we don't want to walk that path. And I've learned that it's the path we're called to. Jesus said, you will have trials and tribulations in this world, but I've overcome the world. And we have to, I think sometimes we call ourselves believers, but we're the most unbelieving group of people. You know, we read these things, we see these miracles, and yet when it comes to ourselves, we don't want to walk that walk.
Like you said, I guess none of us, if we had a choice, would ever pick suffering. So it's almost like if we're going to suffer, it's going to be thrust upon us outside of our control, as you talked about earlier, not having control anyway. You also mentioned a concern that, of course, many of us as parents have with our children and kids who stray from the faith and worries about them. Can you speak a little bit to parents who are suffering and how you were able to sort of navigate and find joy even in a parental role with suffering?
That's a huge point in my book, because I think that to me was the most devastating thing. You know, I had this identity in, I'm raising my six children, I'm homeschooling them, you know, we're in church, you know, doing all the right things, and to watch them walk away from the faith, that hit me like nothing has hit me. But God spoke into that as well. And he said, trust me. And he said, I'm the perfect parent, Marie, and you rebel. I'm the perfect parent. My children stray. This is not about you. This is about you wanting to look a certain way. You wanting people to pat you on the back and say, well done, Marie. You've done such a great job raising your children. But he didn't give me my children for that purpose. He gave them to me to raise them in the nurture and admonition of him. And I've done it with a lot of mistakes along the way. And then I just have to release them back to him. You know, he's the one that is savior, not me.
So many beautiful insights that you have even there. You also said, and any of us who are parents know that we make a lot of mistakes as parents. There are many times, you know, I could look back and go, gosh, I wish I had a do-over on